with me to the book of 1 Samuel, Old Testament. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We're going to begin our reading this morning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shiloh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shiloh and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And then Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. And they set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a great valley between them. And when they and there came up, pardon me, a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had sheaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed about 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing the shield went before him. And he stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, Why are you come out to me, and set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you're the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If you be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Going down to verse number 20, it says, And David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the sheep keeper, and he went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench of the host that was going forth to the fight, and shouted, for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army, and he came and he saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and will make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to go further down to verse number 32. Verse 32 goes on to say, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and I slew him. Verse 36, it says, Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Down to verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, and which he had been in a script and his sling and in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on, and he drew unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? I am the Philistine. Cursed David by his gods, and the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give thy carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that I, the Lord, save not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and he drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and toward the army of to meet the Philistine. And David put in his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk deep into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for this opportunity to come into your house. God, I want you to help us, to lead us, God, as we go into many battles and circumstances of our lives. Allow the Holy Ghost to minister and to manifest in this place today. Give us strength and that overcoming power in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered what occurs or what causes a person to attain or to experience, even to live a life of achievement, to be the one who shows before all an outstanding outward expression of the talents that they possess? Just what kind of a chemical makeup, you might wonder, is it that resides in those who go on to be or to become whatever it is they desire to be? See, whether or not you stop to ponder such thoughts like these this afternoon, I'm going to take the time to share with you what I believe to be the primary ingredient, as well as the chemical makeup that resides and that's resident in the lives of those who go on to attain and to become whatever they want to be or to become. This morning, I want to preach to you a message that's titled, Meeting the Challenge. Meeting the Challenge. In reference to each of our lives, there remains an ingredient that God has placed within us, an ingredient that we can choose to activate, or we can even allow to lay dormant. The ingredient I'm referring to is potential. This active force called potential is the ability in us, as well as the very capability inside of us that allows us to be or to become whatever it is that we in our lives want to be. Paul the Apostle, he writes in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, he writes, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, meaning there is no limit nor boundaries present that can keep you back from being the one to attain whatever it is that you want to attain in God, other than you. You're the one that stops it. You're the one that puts the brakes on. You're the one that holds it back. You're the one that doesn't press forward and move on to what you want to be. And you say, why? Because if God's for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8:31. If God can be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes I think what we do is we underestimate our abilities. We underestimate what we can do and what it is that we really do possess, our talents. Well, it's not very much, but before God, it's a whole lot. Before God, it's more than you probably would consider being something, but God can take something little and make it big. God can take and turn a page where you thought I could never do that or I've never done that, and you look back in your life and you say, I cannot believe that I've come from here to there. I've gone from that place to this place, and God keeps moving me on. It's this very concept is one that a great majority of us as a people of God, I believe we fail to recognize as an open door. A door walked through could help you to reach or to attain whatever you desire to reach or to attain through Jesus Christ. And this door of opportunity will only open to you when you're ready to meet the challenge. To challenge it, to attain it, to achieve it, to do it. You ever think or remember in your life sometimes, and we would use it as just a phrase, a door, maybe a threshold. You stood before a door in your life. You were going to cross into doing something. Maybe you've never tried, a place you've never gone, something in your life you've never accomplished before. And so surely what would happen is you're standing at this door and you're looking at that door. And maybe the door's got a crack and is a bit open, but you're kind of weary about wanting to push it open and to cross that threshold. I remember growing up in the church, and I didn't have a whole lot of mechanical talents and stuff, but I had a car that was a lemon, and I would take it into the shop all the time to get it fixed, and I started going like this, so what's this for, and why did you do that, and how come you unhooked the battery, and I'd ask this guy, and he was really kind to me, he didn't kick me out of the shop, and he would say, I'm doing this for this reason, and he went on, and so I went and took that knowledge, and then we had some single ladies in the church in Kelowna with cars, and they needed an oil change, or maybe an alternator changed, or a starter changed, one lady needed a radiator changed, and so what did I do, I just took what I was learning, and following through with all the things he did. I needed a tune-up, changing the spark plugs, and on. I took it. I walked up to that door, and if I don't walk through that door, if I didn't try it, it would never happen. And they would go, I can't believe you did this for me. You fixed this. I started changing oil until the cars got brand new. Changing all kinds of things that people would do that maybe you never did. But the only way you're going to experience is what I'm saying. You've got to walk through that door. I'm going to challenge this. I'm going to attain it. I'm going to achieve it. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it. Amen. See, our Bibles, as well as the world's history books, have recorded in them the feats and the accomplishments of men and women who have gone beyond the limits of what we call possible. Just look at the stories that you can read in your life. The Bible, pardon me, along with the history books, tell us of those who went beyond the boundaries of their basic potential to defy logic, to challenge the odds, in their desire to attain the goals that they sought after. And yet today, as individuals and as a child of God, we can choose to either in our lives to live our lives for God, resting and remaining in the realm of the mediocre, you know, the just get by mode, or you can be the one who can decide to meet the challenge or the challenges before you and to go beyond, pardon me, your present boundaries in order for you to reach out for the desires that you want to attain more. That's our theme, more. I want more in 2024. Well, if I want more, what am I going to do? Am I just going to do the same old, everything that I've always done? Because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. But if I want to attain more by seeking to attain all that God's word says that he has awaiting me, then I've got to walk through that door. I've got to meet that challenge. I've got to cross that threshold, whether it's by faith, whether it's just by chance, but I've got to do it. The verse of Scripture, as I've already alluded to, we chose to focus in on is Ephesians, 23 and 20. It says, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power is in you. It's that Holy Ghost power. It's that power, that opportunity that God has given you to reach your potential, to be able to meet those challenges. Now, if you were to take a moment to consider such a biblical text, also to consider the likes of a man like maybe blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, or the lame man at the gate, beautiful, as well as the apostles and the many men and the women of the New Testament church who could have accepted their fate at of their lives presently, would it put before them instead of doing what we read about in their lives that they had done, what they went up against, what they faced, what they challenged in their lives. What you'll find is each of them refused to accept their life circumstance. as many of them that were willing to step or take that step of faith, they met the challenges and they beat them. Blind Bartimaeus, you'll find, who refused to let his only chance of being able to receive his healing, the what was about to pass him by. If you want to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to be reading at verse number 46. He didn't let his opportunity pass him by. And it says, and they came to Jericho, and they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise, for he calleth thee. And with that thought, I ask you to think to yourself, how many times is it or has it been that you've gone home without your receiving whatever it was that you had come to receive? I come today with a need. I come today with a petition. I come today with a purpose. There's something in my heart that's troubling me, and I'm looking for that to be fulfilled. But the day goes by, and the service is over, and I walk back out that door, and it's not received. It's not met. It's not attained. So Bartimaeus, having heard that it was Jesus about to pass by, what did he do? We read where he defied the protocol of a blind man and he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Don't you say nothing. You're blind, don't you know? You got no right to talk. But you see, Bartimaeus challenged the fact that he had a right to be healed, even though the people called for him to be quiet. And that's why he cried out the more. And because he did, he got Jesus's attention. Well, does that mean I've got to scream and yell at God to get his attention? No, but you've got to be persistent. You've got to have that desire. You know what? I've come here today, and I'm going to get it. I'm not leaving without it. I have got a desire in my heart, and it's going to come to pass one way or another. Oh, just be quiet, and don't you worry. There's other people who've got needs, too. They can have their needs, but I want mine met. See, in the account of the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she, too, knew that she faced great obstacles, but she pushed on, as we're about to read in the book of Mark, chapter 5, if you want to turn there. She pushed on through the crowds in her desire to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 25. Bible says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She was in a critical state. She was in a position of her life that she was either going to die or she was going to find a cure. Goes on to say, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, the challenge for this woman was getting to Jesus through the multitude of people that thronged him. If you found out, read your Bible, anywhere he went, wherever Jesus was, there was a whole group of people, masses of them. They would come and they'd press in, maybe for a look, maybe for an opportunity for them to get touched. But the woman with the issue of blood, she met this challenge head on, and she made it to where Jesus was. And the Bible says that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. She didn't settle going, what am I going to do now? Look at all these people. I'm stuck in the back here. First of all, I'm weak. I'm losing a lot of blood. Second of all, I'm just a tiny little woman, maybe just an average height woman. And how am I going to get through there? I'll tell you what she did. I believe with all my heart, she got on her hands and knees, and she started crawling between the legs and between these people, and she began to push. And maybe they kicked her. Maybe they told her to get out of the way. And what do you think you're doing? We're here to see Jesus just like you. But she didn't pay attention to that. She took that challenge, and she went right through that crowd, and then she began to reach out. And the closer she got to her miracle, that's when everything changed. She didn't lay down and die. Think about that. I'm just going to quit. I've asked him a half dozen times. Nothing's happened. I'm just not going to bother. No, she didn't lay down. She was not prepared to let her the possibility of her last opportunity. If you read the story, it could have been. She wasn't going to let this last opportunity to pass her by. In doing so, she attained what she'd come to Jesus to get. She got it. She met the challenge. And my question to those of you that are here this morning is a question that only you can answer it. And that is, how about you? How about you? She did it. Well, how about you? Are you quicker to just offer up a wish and a hope when it comes to your seeking to obtain Jesus' attention, maybe in concerns to your needs? Or is it you who, when you come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in prayer, that you come with an unwavering confidence that defies whatever that might be against you? And then when you come and you do this, do you walk away being in possession of what it is that you have come to receive? Do you declare, I'm not leaving? I'm not going. I'm going to get it. There is a woman, a story of a woman. I might have shared it with you in time past, been a long time probably. But there is this rich woman, and she heard about a revival going on in her town. And so she told her chauffeur, take me down to the little church over in such a place in the city. And we get there. She said, Charles, I want you to just sit there and wait for me. I got to go in, and I've got to get this Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. And so the driver pulls up to the door, and there's a lot of noise, music going, people shouting and praising God. And well, she gets out in her little prim and proper way, and she walks into the door, and she looks at a great big crowd of people. And as she looks at them, she thinks, I'm here to get the Holy Ghost. And so she walks in through the door, and she makes her way. Well, she went right up to the front. This lady was going to be bold and brazen. And she just lifted up her hands and started worshiping God. And the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost just got a hold of her, and she started rolling on the floor and getting up, and her hair was all messed up. Well, what did she do? She got the Holy Ghost, and then she looked, because she was a society woman, and making sure her hair was nice and her dress was just still in proper order, and she kind of just gathered herself together and figured, okay, I've got the Holy Ghost. And she walked to the back of the church, and she went out of the church out to the car, and Charles looked in the rearview mirror and saw the messy hair and looked like she'd been rolled in the mud, maybe a bunch of sawdust, and he said, ma'am, what do we do? She goes, Charles, I got the Holy Ghost, just take me home. What about you? Well, what do you mean, what about me? It's just me. No, what are you going to do? How about you? What's your answer going to be? Am I going to come and get it? Am I just going to I prayed, I said a couple words, I felt some tears, but nothing changed. In the story of the lame man at the gate beautiful, if you want to turn to the book of Acts chapter 3, it was this man who allowed his hidden inward faith to be what caused him to respond to the words of Peter and to reach up and to take a hold of Peter's hand. And the lame man went beyond his present circumstances, and he seized the opportunity again of his chance to be healed. Acts chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 6, the Bible says, Peter declared, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Lifting him up, the Bible says, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, through the power of his own faith and the words of Peter, that layman, he defied the logic that he could not walk, and he met the challenge by faith, and he rose to his feet, leaping up, and he stood, and he walked, and he entered into the temple, leaping and praising God all that way. What did he do? I'll tell you what he did. If Jesus said it, then I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in my Bible, I'm going to believe it until I die. What says? What do you mean? Lame from his mother's womb. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. What am I going to do with my hand? I don't have what I'm going to give you, the temporal things of this world, but what I'm going to give you is the power in Jesus' name to get up. And in faith, he grabbed a hold of that. He met that challenge, whether I'm lame or not, and he grabbed him, and to his feet he went. And then he said, well, hey, great, guys. Thanks a lot. Do you want to go grab a coffee? Or no. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. I tell you what, sometimes we need to just go over the top when we're celebrating what God has done for you. He healed my body. He touched my mind. I got the Holy Ghost. I went down in that watery grave in baptism. Jesus answered my personal prayer, my financial prayer. He did a whole lot of stuff. And so I just want to get to the house of God, and I want to praise him for it. Then we're going to find a man named Peter. Everybody knows about Peter. They used to call Peter, he was like quick to go one way to the other with his behaviors. He was going to cut off this guy's ear. The next thing you know, he's going to stand and with Jesus to the end. Peter himself was an apostle called of God, a man who was an eyewitness to the miracles of God. But you know what Peter did? He refused to allow his human weakness to hinder his opportunity of becoming one of the greatest apostles of the New Testament times. Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 18. Matthew 16, verse 8, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You see, church, what I'm saying to you this afternoon, this morning, kind of, what I want to say is this. Maybe for some of us, and possibly even all of us, in our lives and our walking with God, the message that God, through this message, is wanting you or us to receive is this. Isn't it time for you to be the one to meet the challenge or the challenges in your life? But it's the devil, we all know, who speaks into our minds, you know, in our thoughts, and he says, God's not going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to escape your afflictions. There's never going to come a day when you can go beyond where you are in God to the place that you want to be. But you know what? The devil is a liar and the father of them all. But he does that. You know, if you're honest, yeah, he spoke to me just yesterday. He said, nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to change. I'm stuck in this dilemma forever and ever and ever. Yeah, we got to stand up and say, you know what? You are a liar. Now, you might not ever have to meet such challenges as blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, or the layman at the gate beautiful. So see, whatever it is that you in your life, that you find yourself, what you come up against, the challenge or the challenges of your wanting maybe to overcome or to achieve something in God, you are going to face, look at that picture, you're going to face both obstacles as well as setbacks that will discourage you and might even disappoint you, and the list could go on. But what, again, I want you to consider is this. Are you just going to continue to allow your life circumstances to dictate for you, to you, the outcome? Or are you going to be the one who, in and through the Spirit of God, are you going to rise up to meet that challenge, looking for that time wherein God will allow you to ultimately overcome it, to conquer it, to receive it, to attain it? Well, whatever. It doesn't matter what you're wanting, because you have a different maybe challenge than I do. You've got different obstacles in your life. Some of us might have a handicap, or we might have a personality that might not be outward. I mean, you know me, I'm pretty shy myself. I got that down right and quite soft spoken most of the time. And Revelation 21 and 8 comes in for a fact. But anyhow, whatever you're up against, what it is that you're facing, are you going to say, I'll face it. I'll just go on with life. Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to challenge this. I am going to challenge it. If Jesus told me I can have the Holy Ghost, it's my gift, I'm going to go after it. If a healing is what I need, if there's a need or a personal need in your life, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, it doesn't matter. You're going to face obstacles. You might get discouraged. It hasn't happened yet. It's not come to pass. Nothing's really changed. The course that I'm taking is the same I've done for a long time, until you get to the place where you say, you know what? I'm going to meet this challenge. And you square back your shoulders, you set your head up, and you start walking towards that challenge. And you start saying, you know what? In Jesus' name, I'm going to climb this mountain. In Jesus' name, I'm going to overcome this. In Jesus' name, I'm going to take my shy, kind of quiet little spirit, and I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. See, coming to church or being new to the things of God, trying to make prayer or Bible reading and keeping church as your new priority, well, believe it or not, you know, that's a challenge. Sometimes it doesn't fit. Well, I never did this before. Church was never a priority, you know. Prayer was never a priority. Reading my Bible, well, I got one at home somewhere, but if I can find it, maybe I'll look at the cover. It says the Bible. Yeah, the Holy Bible, that might. No, it's a challenge. Sometimes you've got to say, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. And church is not going to be a little kind of an add-on to my life. It's going to become a part of my life. You can say, where's the time? You ever said that before? Where's the time? Look at this week. I was watching, like, we were working yesterday in my yard, and time went, and it was 7 o'clock. And I said, it's getting dark. And I looked. It's 7 o'clock. I can't believe we've been going this long. It just felt like it was about an hour and some, but it was a long time. So you say, where's the time? Stepping out in faith, believing that what you're petitioning God for will come to pass. Like I said, the Holy Ghost healing, a miracle. Let me tell you today, new to God or not, this sometimes church is what becomes one of the greatest challenges that we'll ever face in our lives. As we live our lives for God, they become challenges. They become obstacles. They become something that kind of makes you step back and question. But instead of questioning it, what we need to do is push it forward. And I've shared this, but we've got people in here that might be able to use this one. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost and I came home from newest minister. We got the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, went home. My in-laws just said it was time for us to move on. We went up to Kelowna anyhow. We're going to be heading there and we're going to services. And the devil kept saying to me, you didn't get the Holy Ghost. That was you. That was just you. And I started getting discouraged. And I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I didn't get it. It wasn't true. So I got a hold of the pastor and I said, Pastor, I said, the devil keeps telling me that with the Holy Ghost and all, that it's just me. And I'm getting concerned. And he said, well, can I tell you something? I said, sure. It was you. It was me? Yeah, well, whose voice is he going to use? Whose tongue is he going to? Of course it's you. But that's the Holy Ghost in you coming out of you. And I thought, oh, he said, you want to give the devil a black eye? I said, yeah. He said, just start talking in tongues anyhow. Just give it right back to him. Say, guess what? It's me. It's me. It's a challenge. So the choice before you is either to face it, to come against it, to conquer it, to overcome it, or to just let it go and walk away from such challenges. It's up to you for it is that kind of a now faith, that kind of a moment. It's now faith. We're in a service today. Well, sometime during the service and even at the end of the service, while you're praying, you can say now faith. What's now faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I haven't got it yet, but guess what? I'm here to challenge that. I'm here to attain that. Jesus says in his word, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. But blessed are you if you're called and you're chosen and you're faithful. Do you know there's many who start out in this race and for reasons of their own, they either turn back or they just simply walk away. And if you've been in church for any length of time, well, guess what? You surely have read in your Bible about a man called Saul of Tarsus, a man who later went on to become Paul the Apostle, the man who is credited with writing over 2/3 of the New Testament Bible, which we read. Saul was a learned man. And yet at the same time, he was also unlearned. It was Saul of Tarsus who took it upon himself to persecute the people of God and to come against any who believed in the name of Jesus Christ. But it was on the road to Damascus when Saul was struck down by a light in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. As far as Saul's life was concerned, we find that where he finally yielded his life to God, he was knocked down. He was put down. He was learned, but he was unlearned. It was Saul who became Paul, and he went beyond from where he was, meeting the new challenge that he would face to become a man great in the eyes of God. And I want you to hear me today. Saul could have rejected Jesus' call, but he didn't. And as he continued to be both mighty, pardon me, in word and deed, Saul meant many things. His pedigrees in that Bible of ours that we read, all that he went through in the church, out of the church, among his countrymen, he was cast into prison. A lot of his books were written behind bars. And yet, why didn't he quit? Why didn't he walk away? Why didn't he turn back? Many people do. I got discouraged and I walked away. Well, you know what? Instead of getting discouraged, take that challenge and turn it around. Say, you know what? I'm going to get this. I'm going to fight it. In his life, you would find that Paul not only met the challenges through the power of God, but he paved the way for you, you could say, or any one of us in our lives, to instead of just settling for second best or for a life of the mediocre, to be the ones to meet whatever challenges that we come up against in that same way. In what way? Through the power of Jesus' name. You come against it in Jesus' name. You pray in Jesus' name. You say, I'm going to work this in Jesus' name. But let's go on from the stories in our Bibles about the many great men and women who met the challenges. And let now, I want to stop just for a couple of minutes here. I want to talk about you. Where is it that you in your life are at today? Do you have, or maybe have you chosen to just go along with the flow? Or are you walking in your full potential of all that God wants to do in and through your life? Or, or do you just go from day to day in the realm of just getting by? Where are you today? See, well, they did it. But God's not a respecter of persons. God is a respecter of desires. He'll do it because you desire it. You wanted it. Guess what? If you're hungry, what do? You go to the fridge or you go out and buy a snack. You go get food. If your car is running out of gas, you don't go park it at the dealership and wait for it to open in the morning and tell them how horrible this car is because it's out of gas. You go to the gas station. So wherever we are in our life, what do we do? Am I just going to get by? Am I just going to move on? Or am I going to say, no, I'm not going to just get by. I'm going to supersede. I'm going to move on just like they did in the Bible. You could say on a scale of 1 to 10, if you were asked, where does your now faith in God lie? Oh, I know that God's done it. You know, he's moved through and manifested in people's lives. But, you know, as for me, I've never considered taking the chance of my going beyond where I am to where God wants me to be. Why? That's a challenge. I've never done this before. I don't know if you've been in church, but I coined that phrase many years under the ministry of Brother and Sister Mitchell, our first pastor. He would say, let's do this and this. And I said, I never done this before. I never done this before. It'd be just new challenges, new things. I've never done this before. Well, guess what? When you've never done it before, it's a challenge. It's something that, well, I've never had the Holy Ghost before. I've never prayed out loud before. I've never been baptized in Jesus' name. I've never done this stuff. So it's a challenge, isn't it? Okay, what are you going to do with that challenge? Where are you going to leave that challenge? In the cupboard? Out the door? Are you going to say, you know what? I'm going to take it on. So whether your desire is to work or maybe to operate in a ministry or a calling of God, whether or not it's you who struggles with the thought of even to be able to go beyond where you presently are, to where you want to be in God. Sometimes I want to go further, you'd say to yourself, but I just kind of feel hesitant starting today. I say to you, isn't it time for you to quit living in the realm of only possibilities? Isn't it time for you to start by reaching out into the world of the impossible? How do you reach out to this impossible? How? By stepping up the game, by being the one to meet the challenge, by not allowing or settling for the leftovers of God. I want the first fruits. I want something. I want to be fresh. Not allowing your life or your walk with God to just to be sustained. But instead knowing that it's time for you to reach out, to step out in your faith in God, to allow God to show you what he can and what he will do in and through you in your life, personally, yours, not everybody else's. It's you. And I'll tell you what, when is he going to do this? I'll tell you when. When you, my friend, are ready to finally meet that challenge, going beyond where it is that you are to where God knows that you can be. Are you ready to meet that challenge? Well, I want it to happen today, okay? You're ready to meet that challenge if you want to step out. Every one of us here today has the potential of doing a work for God, becoming something great in God, and the place where God wants all of us to be. But you know what? The only way we're going to attain that the new heights, the new depths in God is for you, my friend, to meet the challenge. Meeting the challenge. I've never rock climbed. We went down to this little place where they had little stones in the wall. It was kind of a deal, and they would harness you all up, and I'm terrified of heights anyhow. I don't like a lot of heights. And so this was only about a 15-foot tall wall, and so they put you in a harness like a little bungee thing so you can't fall down and get killed. And so we started walking up this, and Melissa's going, Dad, you're actually climbing that wall. Well, I got about three-quarters of the way up. It's only 15 feet, maybe the top of the ceiling here. And I looked down, and all I had to get back down was these little buddy, little kind of sticking out rocks just like this. And I thought, now I got to get down. And I said, how do I get down? And the guy's looking at me like, you crawled up there. How do I get down? How do I do this, Pastor? This is something new. And okay, I'll confess. I know, because everybody else here is strong. You know what he had to finally do? I was terrified. 15 feet in the air by little rocks, and my feet are just sticking. My foot's out here. I had about maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches on this rock. He finally said, just let go. I'll lower you down. Sometimes that's what you do. I tried it. Now I'm scared. I prayed out loud all by myself. Nobody made me. I did it myself. What are you doing now? I'm scared. Just kind of lower down. And next time, go at it again. See, it's not a matter of how long you've been in the church. It's a matter of if you're ready to meet a challenge of what you're up against. Whatever you're up against, it does not matter. Wherever you are right now in 2024, I believe that God is asking all of us, really, are we ready to go beyond the realm of the normal? Are we ready to step into the realm of the supernatural in faith to once and for all to meet this challenge? The challenge that we believe God, friends and church today, the challenge that God's going to give us, this revival, a revival in us, an influx of souls, watching souls are born again in the water by water and baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost, and finally being the ones to surpass the place where we are to where it is. As I said, God knows that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in faith and not by sight. But as we become this church and the people who walk in this realm of the miraculous and mediocre, how do we get there? God's given us the ability to move mountains, to subdue kingdoms, to wrought miracles, but we and you are the one who's got to be able to first, you must be willing to meet this challenge. You've got to stop to consider David. That's what we read about in the beginning, remember? In our scriptural text, he was preparing to take on the Goliath, the giant from Gath. What was his guarantee? What was it? I'll put on this armor, Saul says, and here's my shield, and you'll go out to that battle, and you'll fight that. And he goes, I've never proved this. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't wear this kind of stuff. What was his guarantee? In fact, what was it that allowed David to take on both the lion and the bear and to defeat them? What was it? I'll tell you what it was. It was nothing other than David in his heart and his mind. He, in the face of such circumstances, he was ready to do whatever it was that he knew he had to do to overcome what he was up against. Meeting each challenge head on and not concerning himself with the what ifs, but with the fact of his pending victory. That's why Goliath was just another opportunity for David to meet the challenge, to anticipate, once again, a victory. He's going to be another check mark on our wall. We talk about trophies, our trophies from God. You know, okay, it was on Friday night, I got the Holy Ghost, and it was on Sunday afternoon that I got baptized after I got the Holy Ghost, and it was on this day that I repented, and this was the day I started praying out loud, and this was the day I met this challenge, and we got them all on our wall. There's our trophies, and said, you know, I made it here, I conquered this, I achieved this, I went here. As I round the corner, and I head for a close, I ask all of you, just what are you going to do with the challenges that lie ahead of you? What are you going to do? You can either allow God to take us as a church or you as an individual to where he wants us to be, or we can just let 2024 pass us by and continue to accept the status quo. But I say to you, church, this is not what we're going to do. As individuals, it's not what we're going to do, but we're going to do instead together. We're going to meet the challenges. We're going to seek to be the ones to take on what stands in front of us. Sometimes you'll find shy people, they don't want to go from here to there. Putting up their hands is like over the top. I mean, everybody's watching me. No, they're not. Nobody's watching you at all. They're probably, hopefully, doing the same thing. Come on, Sister Wilson. But what are you going to do? From here to here to here to here. From here to here to here to here. And there you are, hands up, tears flowing on your face, talking in tongues, shaking your hands, just shouting. One of my favorite times, and I'm just not, this isn't prepaid, public or political, but one of my favorite times, and I feel God really kind of hit the mark, is when this certain lady in our church does her jiggy jig. You know, he went beyond, but she didn't say, well, I'm not doing the jiggy jig because everybody's going to want. I don't think she doesn't give a care. She just does it. She meets it. So what is it you're going to do with what you've heard? What will you do with a potential that lies dormant inside of you? Think of this. Are you waiting? It's just waiting for you to unlock that power. It's waiting for you to begin to climb your mountain. The potential could become all in God that you want to be. The potential's there for you to meet whatever it is you come up against. As we stand together today, I wonder, are you ready to step out in faith? Are you ready to take a hold of what God says you can have? And it starts by each one of us meeting a potential. This altar is open, and I wonder if you're ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Are you ready to cross that threshold of the natural to step out into the supernatural? No, I'm hanging onto my seat. I'm staying where I am. I'm not moving. That's called the brakes. That's called hanging back. I want us all to kind of step out today. Don't be a shy person. No one's going to bite you. You can come up from your pew and walk to the front. I know it's your comfort zone. Come on, I'm just going to wait. I want everybody to come. I don't want you to come to the front because I want you to break the cycle of the same old I just talked about. It's the same old. I do it every week. This is all I do. This is as far as I go. Today, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to, maybe if you're willing to, just lift up your hands and just say, God, today. Today's my chance for a miracle. Today, I'm going to climb that mountain. Today, I'm going to cross that boundary. Today, I'm going to meet that challenge. I'm going to attain what it is that you have for me. I'm not going to sit back and take it. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, that can take of the water of life freely. The dinner bell's ringing. Would you pray with me? If you've already prayed, would you pray with somebody? Say, come on, we're going to meet this challenge. It's a challenge. Don't hang back. Don't hang on. Let go, and let God have His way. Would you pray? Would you talk to Him today? Would you allow that Spirit of Christ?